When you hear the phrase soft as steel, what do you think of? While the word steel might conjure up images such as massive high-rise buildings, where does the soft part come in? And what exactly does this mean in our work and in our lives? Welcome to the Soft as Steel podcast with your host, Dennis Duran, featuring engaging conversations with a wide range of industry leaders around soft skills, how we practice love, inclusion, social justice, and compassionate leadership that's everlasting in the workplace. And now, here's Dennis Duran.
Anytime someone is described as interesting or doing good things or innovative, you become curious. I'm told by folks that know my guest that these words make sense to describe Dan Weiss, a dynamic president of Weiss Offsite, which brings a legacy of three generations in the commercial drywall construction industry with him. His passion for construction is contagious, and it's evident in every project undertaken by his team. What sets them apart? I suspect it's their deep understanding of the intricate nature of the construction process. From panelizing to project kitting and even pod manufacturing, they've mastered the art of efficiency. But here's the secret sauce: collaboration. The Weiss Offsite crew dances seamlessly with architects, engineers, and general contractors. Early collaboration is their anthem, ensuring successful projects that resonate with precision and innovation. Remember, in the symphony of construction, harmony begins with teamwork. Dan, welcome to the Soft as Steel podcast.
Thanks, Dennis. Really appreciate the intro.
Was it okay? Did I do okay?
It was great.
Yeah.
Well, it was great.
I'll send you a copy. You can use it as an epitaph, you know, 30, 50 years down the road, if you choose. And no need to credit it to me at all. All right. But thank you. So let's start our conversation. We're going to talk for about 30 minutes or so, and it'll be over before we even realize that it's happened. The words that I chose and used in your introduction, they all, at a minimum, they all hint at the fact that you're an individual, a person running a company, a successful company, a respected company that understands what I talk about a lot, and that is that the intrinsic nature of how we do business with one another, which speaks to appreciating individuals' qualities and how they work together, how they communicate, the fact that they respect each other, the fact that the collaboration means something to them, is all the intrinsic stuff. The hard skill stuff, or the extrinsic part of it, is when I mentioned you're talking about panelizing, kitting, pod manufacturing. You're doing a lot of very innovative things. Obviously, the marketplace for construction is evolving. Techniques and materials, et cetera, all evolving. But I get the feeling that at the beginning or at the base of it for you, it's about the fact that you care about the people that you work with and you work for. And that's kind of the starting point for how you energize your team and how you energize yourself. What are your thoughts around that? Am I misdescribing you? Is that reasonable?
No, you're 100% describing the factory that we have, the folks that our other company, our sister company, Weiss Drywall, employs in the field. It all comes down to our people. It all comes down to the collaboration. It all comes down to our relationships. And ultimately, the whole reason that I am all those things that you very nicely say that I am, it's a heart of our people. The reason I go and start other companies, it's because when you have a smaller company, kind of like what Weiss Drywall is, we're not that large of a firm. We're, you know, sub 500 people, you know, over 100, sub 500. I'll keep it vague because it depends on the day. You only have so many spots that people can move up into. And here I am looking at myself. This is like 15 years ago. And I'm like, I was already in the same position that I was going to be for the rest of my career. And I was in my mid, late 20s. I'm like, gosh, like if I feel this way, like how does my team feel? It's like, and here I am. I'm not going to go any higher and do anything more than what I'm doing right now. And it's like, so I have to start getting creative. I have to start raising people up. I have to start other companies and make room for people to move up and continue to make room downstream. So no, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. So if I were to ask you to articulate the two, three, or four most important values that you possess as an individual, as a leader, as a company, what comes to mind as far as values for you that are important?
For me personally?
And your company, yeah.
In my company. I mean, we have core values. It really comes down to doing what's right. That's kind of the number one thing that I always think about. We all innately know what's right. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've had multiple team members come to me and say, hey, what do you think about this situation, right? It's not even like a bad, right, anything. It's just like, and my answer is always, well, what do you think I would do? And they verbatim tell me exactly what I would do. I'm like, you know what to do, right? So we all know kind of what the right decision is most of the time. And it really just comes down to people's character. You know, it's like looking out for our clients, looking out for each other, kind of servant leadership. And those qualities are just, those are really important, those character qualities.
Yeah, no, and I would agree with that. If I were to ask someone who's worked for you for a while, what do you think they would say about you as far as how they would describe you?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a whole different conversation. Probably more like a golden retriever chasing a squirrel with a full bowl of food back at the house, right? I am everywhere and I am nowhere. But, you know, that's why I've noticed, you know, we all know our weaknesses at the end of the day, mine included. I spent a lot of time early in my career working with business coaches, working with there's some consulting groups that help leaders, you know, with themselves and just really identifying and seeing, you know, my personal weaknesses as a leader. And slowly but surely over the years, I've just infilled people that have strengths in my weaknesses. You know, so like, again, I can be everywhere. I am, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a diagnosed ADD or anything like that, but you know, it's, yeah, it's a very, you know, I can flip flop and be, you know, I can talk about all kinds of different things at any given time and then hyper-focus on subjects that I need to hyper-focus on and then, you know, have a squirrel moment and be right back here. So yeah, it's, yeah. And that's what's great. You know, it's like I can truly just kind of be me.
Yeah.
But then have a whole team that can be them too.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the most important part of who you are that motivates the people around you?
That I want them to be them. I want them to be real to them. You know, whenever I started just being me is when I really started seeing things take off for us, right? Or for me personally, right? Whether that's in like relationship with my wife, kids, whatever, all these things. And when we stop faking who we are, you know, like for me, it's like I wear, for a long time, I wore like khakis every day and I'm not a khaki guy, right? I'll wear them obviously, but, you know, cause I was, you know, in commercial construction, you know, we have kind of the, you know, there's still this old school kind of group of folks, which is great, who wear suits every day and everything like that. It's just like, that's just not who I am, right? We build walls. We run construction company, you know, it's like we are, a lot of my clients are casual these days. But just when you get comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had multiple team members just say, hey, thank you just for letting me be me, right? Letting me, you know, joke in the office about poop and farts, right? And things about our kids, right? I mean, because we all, you know, like a lot of us in the office have kids, right? And, right. You know, all those different things, right? It's just like, it's just, it's real life.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. As you think back over your life, can you identify, you know, one or two individuals that were particularly important to helping develop you as a leader, people that you looked to for their example, perhaps someone that mentored you in your early years?
Totally. You know, so I've had more mentors, whether official or unofficial, than I can really count. But some of the ones that really stick out to me, really, you know, so I'm a Christian. I read the Bible every day. So Jesus is probably the biggest mentor I could ever have, right? And using God's word in that way. My grandfather's another one of those. He started our company back in 1971, Bob Weiss, and along with his brother. And, you know, just how he treated people. A lot of these things that we talk about, team, you know, are these exact thoughts that he had? Absolutely not. But me just being a young kid, watching and hearing stories about how he treated folks, especially our tradesmen, you know, it really shapes you on like, wow, like our teams are really important. Making sure that people who entrust their lives to us and our decisions and our company, that, you know, it makes you really stop and think about like, am I being a good steward? Am I stewarding, you know, kids' lives, right? Who, you know, these folks at workforce have children like my kids' age. You know, am I doing the best thing that I can be doing for those kids? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are probably some of the largest influences.
That's great. When you think about where we are as an industry, just the, say the broader construction industry, or the we could probably narrow it into the finishing trades. Where we are as an industry today, what as you look to the future in the next 5 to 7 years, what causes you to have feelings of optimism about the future, and what causes you to have feelings about concern about the future in our industry?
Optimism. Let's start with a positive. We are starting to experience an influx of folks who are hungry again. Very early signs. They've always been there. You know, I would say there's gaps, right? There's maybe 2 or 3 years here where it's like, man, the folks that were getting into the industry just, you know, it doesn't seem like they really care. But here in the last year or so, too, we're starting to get people back in that really care, that are fired up about it. And anybody who's fired up about something can get me fired up about it. So, you know, and then also just the tech that we're slowly but surely implementing into the field. You know, we don't have all the tradespeople that we need, the men and the women out there. However, the more tech that gets adopted, that makes sense. That's not us just staring at more iPads, right, and phones. Actual tech that actually helps us getting things installed faster, mm-hmm. which is actually a pretty small sliver of the tech industry. But then we're getting this influx of really hungry younger workers, and then along who are also hungry for tech. And that really gives me, like, you know, when I start thinking about 10 years, 20 years in the future, that's going to be really powerful. Mm-hmm. On the negative side, the things that I'm not looking forward to is, you know, we're starting to see, and we're a union company, so, you know, we have, our unions are doing a really good job at educating. But, you know, we do have this brain power that's leaving, and all these folks that are retiring. You know, we've got decades upon decades of just experience in the technical aspects of how these projects go together. And we're seeing them leave, and they are starting to transfer that knowledge. But, you know, we're not transferring it as quick as what we need to. Mm-hmm. And so that does present issues. You know, there's not a lot of folks. I'm in my late 30s right now. There's not a lot of people my age in the industry right now because of the recession. And we just couldn't bring, you know, we had, you know, our older folks that we were just trying to keep busy at that point in time. And then, you know, we would infill with some younger people, but it was so tumultuous in that time that a lot of folks just didn't stick with it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a big deal. And that's why, you know, for me, again, going back to the excitement side, having that tech coming in, you know, having things like AI, having things like that, being able to then help our tradespeople put things together better at a technical level and understand things at a technical level, and also being able to analyze the project as a whole, mm-hmm. is going to really enable and help all of our people to be able to be really successful.
Are the techniques and materials that you're using in your projects? Are there new things coming online at some kind of a steady pace? What's the biggest trend right now in the part of the industry that you work in, on the innovative aspects of building walls, as you say?
You know, we are in, I like to call the stage that we're in, we're in a very iterative stage where we're not seeing necessarily a whole lot of game-changing things, right? There's no product that's coming on the market right now that's going to increase our productivity by, you know, like, say, framing a wall, right, or hanging drywall. There's none of those things that are going to come in and pick us up by 50%. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is sub 10% efficiency increases. Mm-hmm. Unless you're talking about, like, kind of some more industrialized construction, but that's not a methodology versus a tool. Mm-hmm. Those things can pick us up, those kind of numbers. But, you know, really, it's like just seeing the increase in just even the efficiency of, like, how our screws, you know, are collated and the different guns. There's new guns that are coming out all the time on screw guns, right? That's very helpful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, on the materials side, it's very iterative, which they are helping. But yeah, I don't see, you know, I get asked the question a lot, what's the next drywall? Mm-hmm. You know, and until we see another product come out that is as abundant as gypsum, that then also is easily to manufacture as gypsum is into a panel, that then also can compound, you know, multiple decades of testing requirements into that product. Well, whatever that is, that will be the next gypsum. Mm-hmm. But until then, it's going to be gypsum for a lot of our fire ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Is there anything interesting that from a technology standpoint has come into just the basic function of taping and finishing walls?
So, you know, there's all kinds of teams out there working on things. I had a canvas robot last summer that we were demoing. Really great product, you know, really good use case for what it was really good at. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just in our market, we weren't able to widely adopt it for everything. But I really think you give that team more time and, you know, all my guys are like, yeah, they really have something. It's, you know, it's just not ready for our market yet. I think you give them more time, I think they're going to really come around and have something really great. They already have something really great, but I think it's going to be even more. And I'm really looking forward to like products, that product specifically, and products like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it a function of them being able to scale it from a cost of manufacture so they can put it in your hands at a lower price point? Is it around that kind of a basic issue? Or is it performance related?
I think mobile robotics is hard, and especially on any kind of, you know, construction sites are really dynamic. Things change very quickly all the time. And I just think it's going to take, you know, time and investment to continue to bring value on that platform.
Mm-hmm. You can tell this is already a very far ranging conversation. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. So the next question is, what do you think is perhaps maybe there are two or three. Again, I'm going to go back to leadership in a more general sense. When you think about a really great leader, what are the one, two, or three qualities that people that you consider to be great leaders possess?
The ability to stay calm under pressure and remove themselves from the situation at hand, mm-hmm. and think about it from like a third party perspective. Mm-hmm. That is would probably be the number one, is to say, what is the best thing to do in this situation without my personal motives involved? Hmm. Number two, and number one, to caveat on that as well, like just being able to not lose it. I see a lot of folks that just can't hold it together when the pressure is really put on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you're absolutely boiling on the inside and you just come off as calm is completely fine too. But, you know, especially in those times of pressure, like there always has to be somebody calm that's leading. And if you're calm, the rest of your team's going to be calm. Mm-hmm. Number two, really getting the hearts of your team and letting your team know that you really care about them. You know, I get the question sometimes, how do you make people feel that you care about them? Mm-hmm. Well, people feel cared about when you actually care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's deeply caring for people. It's how was your weekend? And not just, I know those boilerplate Monday morning conversations, but, you know, following up on Monday, hey, how was your kid's game, right? How did they do? Like, you know, and I'm very forgetful. I forget these things, but it's just truly like loving people, because especially in construction, it's really hard to not be calloused, because this industry will severely callous you if you're not careful. And then number three, I think having fun, you know, and being real, like, and just being you. You know, if you can't laugh and joke and cut up a little bit, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, we work together every day. We work our tails off around each other. If we can't have some fun and just be who we are, and all these, you know, you have a goofy sense of humor, great. Have a goofy sense of humor. If you, you know, are serious all the time, okay. And you can take a razzing about being serious all the time, great. You know, oftentimes we take ourselves too serious and we just got to let loose a little bit.
Yeah. I love all three of those. I think those are terrific. And I particularly like, you talked about maintaining a calm demeanor as your first, is the way I interpreted your words. And I would also say, I'm sure that you're read in at least a bit, if not extensively, around the topic of emotional intelligence and what that's all about. What you just described in terms of your first quality really speaks to a person who has a high level of emotional intelligence, and I think that's a word that is apt in describing how you've been described to me, and what I'm seeing in our conversation. Just how you express some of your thoughts, what makes you smile, what makes you laugh a little bit. But also how focused you are on some of the things we're talking about. And I especially like the last, and that'll take me into the question that you talked about, demonstrating caring for people. When the pandemic hit, and I think it's still sitting out there, I had in my mind that I wanted just to sit down with my microphone and a camera and record, you know, a brief message, put it out as a posting on my LinkedIn account. And the subject of that roughly 3 or 4 minute video was the answer to the question, what is really the only thing or the principal thing that leaders need to be doing right now? Again, this was 4 years ago, almost roughly to the day. And my answer that I talked about for a bit was just let people know that you care about them. And the way you express that thought, it's very genuine, clear. This really is who you are. You just didn't pick these three answers to see if you could come up with some good answers for my podcast. So let me ask you this question. One of the things I talk about quite a bit, I'll start the question by expressing a set of words, two different sets of words that come. One comes from my mentor, this fellow Steve Farber. And it's again from the perspective of people in general, but certainly leaders. And he said in his first book published almost 21 years ago, on the subject of leadership, he said that you need to do what you love in the service of people who love what you do. Do what you love in the service of people who love what you do. And notice he uses the word love in that, and it's something that he's very comfortable talking about. I am as well. And in fact, 2 to 3 years ago, one of his more recent books, the title of the book was Love is Just a Damn Good Business. And then he went about demonstrating through case studies, through the actual stories of companies, many of whom are very well-known companies, how one operationalizes love in business. Talk to me about what your view is about love.
Love, that is a deep subject. It's really hard sometimes. You know, it's also really easy other times. And I know with our teams, right, we're in construction. So, you know, this topic is oftentimes, you know, you don't talk about these things typically. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously comfortable talking about them. You know, it's thinking about your team and the folks that we are with every day, you know, and how at any given time, any one of these people could be gone tomorrow. And that, you know, if they're on their deathbed, not a single person that works for me is going to say, man, you know what? I really wished I could work one more day at Weiss Drywall or Weiss Offsite. You know, I really wish I could just go spend, you know, and so what are they going to say? You know, they're going to say, man, I really should have loved my kids better. I should have been at that soccer game. For us, that's one thing I always talk about. We just had a company-wide safety meeting here recently. And in front of almost our entire team, I'm telling them, like, guys and girls, we want you. I want you to be good moms and dads. I want you to be good members of the community. You know, anything that we can do to help, right? I sponsor sports teams. send me all your sports team stuff, right? We want to help you and your kids, you know, raise up. So great. Like, we sponsored mouse races and, you know, all, you know, hockey teams and all these different things. Happy to do it. You know, and that's, to me, it's like anytime somebody has a problem, you know, obviously when we start having, and you'll notice, Dennis, I always do this because it's like, I always say this thing and then I always like have a caveat just because it's, our world is not absolute. So if somebody's like, hey, my, you know, whatever, my wife, my husband is sick, right? Or whatever, the dog needs to go to the vet. Okay, great. Go take care of your stuff, right? It's not always work and life. Mm-hmm. They intertwine. Mm-hmm. And so life happens, you know? And so obviously our folks in the field, it's a little harder because, you know, it's way more set hours, but stuff happens, right? And, but it's like, you start looking and assessing people based off of what they do and what their character shows over a length of time, you know, not necessarily one day or 2 days or a week, you know, it's months, sometimes years. And you're like, okay, that's how you can kind of assess people a little bit better. But, you know, I think building love into the culture is just, that's one of those things I got to talk about earlier. My mentor, my, you know, grandpa, Bob, he cared so much about these folks, and that still shows today.
That's great. That's a good answer. You've done good. You've done good. And you're right. You know, I'll just kind of put the finishing thought on our conversation. I say often, whether I'm teaching a workshop on soft skills or a class on project management or just getting up in front of a group of people in our industry and talking about what I think is so important to be talking about more, and that is the people part of our business. I will say with no fear of being contradicted that you could say that we're contractors, we're drywallers, we're electricians, we're this, we're that. But what we really are is we are in the service and relationship business. We exist to serve customers. And if we do it well, if we love what we're doing, which is about attitude in one regard, customers are going to want to do business with us over a period of generations, potentially. I'm sure that there are companies that Weis has been doing business with since the days your grandfather founded the company. And that's a wonderful feature of our industry. So we really are a people business. We're not just contractors. And so my thought, and I'd be interested in your reaction to whether this is something that can be operationalized. I like to say to people, as I did yesterday when I was finishing up a project management class, I said, you know, take away everything we've talked about in terms of, you know, things like understanding contracts and being able to control costs on jobs and all these things that are hard skill core parts of managing your business operations and your projects. And remember this, you could be the best painter on the planet, but if you're a painter that doesn't keep in mind this simple thought, and that is what's really important for that great painter is how they are when they're doing what they do. And that all speaks to soft skills. That all speaks to the qualities, demonstrating interest, demonstrating caring, being respectful, all those kinds of things. And those are the difference makers. Does that make sense to you?
100%. You know, going back to what I tell our teams, if you're having an issue on a job with our client, let's say there's a spat with the general contractor's safety person. Let's just say whatever they're asking, let's say it is ridiculous, right? And sometimes that does happen. Well, that's not the tradesperson's job to fight, you know, and that's not them to say rude or mean things to anybody. This is a relationship. This is a negotiation. There is often common ground, right? Unless like what they're doing is clearly wrong. Mm-hmm. Things like that, right? Unless there's something mm-hmm. clear issue. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's no point in blowing your top over this. Like, we will figure it out and we'll work through it together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that it gets rectified. Because at the end of the day, what's the most important thing? A, we're protecting people, but B, that we salvage that relationship and then salvage, keep that relationship good, keep that relationship mm-hmm. strong. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, nobody's out really to actually, very few people are out to actually hurt you.
Right.
In this business, right?
Fortunately, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, and whether that's financially or not, you know, but there are some that are out to, they just don't care about you, right? That does happen 100%.
Yeah. Well, not when you're doing business with the Weis family, that's for sure. That's for sure. Dan, this has been a great conversation. These are the kind of conversations that are worthwhile and important for people in our industry to be able to hear. We've talked about a lot of different things. And I appreciate everything you had to say, and I appreciate you for being a guest on the Soft to Steel podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks for joining us today for this episode of the Softest Steel Podcast with your host, Dennis Duran. Dennis is the author of Softest Steel and a leading speaker and trainer for organizations across many industries and verticals. To learn more about the work Dennis is doing to activate soft skills in the workplace, contact him at DennisDuranSpeaking.com. Be sure to check out his book, Softest Steel, on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you'd like to get your podcasts. And please remember to share this episode with your friends, colleagues, and anyone you feel would benefit from the conversation. We'll see you next time on the Softest Steel Podcast with Dennis Duran.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.